This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
he said good morning from Phoenix, Arizona, where it will hit 90 degrees today. Listen, Tom, be very grateful that you are the age that you are and you have the ability to be in Phoenix, because quite frankly, it's all I can think about right now.
How about that?
Do you know how many snowbirds are stuck up here right now? For whatever reason, not being able to get out of Canada into the warm locales.
November's like the worst month to be stuck here.
Yep, yep, yep.
At least by January, February, you're used to it.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. It's Canada's daytime sports talk show. Hey, head up. Run TV. Look.
Oh, hi.
Yeah. Here we go. Canada's daytime sports talk show. That means it's like The View for sports fans.
Yeah.
Or... like, I'm the Dr. Oz of sports, and you... no, maybe I'm the Dr. Phil, and you're the Dr. Oz. Something like that.
I got the hair like Dr.
Yeah, no
Oz.
No kidding. No
yeah.
kidding.
Okay.
Boy, what a day. Some things have evolved. For those of you that join us every day, you will know that this is hour two of the program. Hour one was on Facebook Live, and here we go to Game Plus TV across North America, and we got a lot of things that we're fired up about. I'll just say this. Last hour, we were joined by Seattle hockey agent Ryan Minkoff. Got a new book out called Thin Ice. And the voice of the Dauphin Kings, Darnell Duff. And I'll just paraphrase. He quoted the head coach of the Dauphin Kings, Doug Headley, who said that he figures there will be a return to junior A hockey, at least in Manitoba, in the new year. And we're all trying to stay positive with that. Those were those guests. And then coming up this hour... you know him, you love him, Barry Davis from the Out of the Park podcast. For years, traveled with the Blue Jays and covered the Blue Jays. Sideline reporter at Sportsnet. Barry Davis is going to be with us to talk a little ball. So that's all coming up. And the thing that's evolved relates to our quick six show topics, and that is this: our viewers have been sending us their best outdoor hockey photos, and. Don't at me, but I've been inside my little bubble for 10 months. Has it been cold enough to freeze the lakes and outdoor rinks that there's so many people out skating?
I know.
It doesn't feel like it's been that cold.
No, it doesn't. I mean, unless they got it in real early when we did get down to minus 15 and minus 20
wow.
for like that week or whatever. But our friend Dustin Nielsen, he's the backyard. He's doing his backyard rink. And we know Dreger's the outdoor rink expert. You know, he was really questioning, if it's not minus 7, can you flood it? Or are you going to risk melting the rest of your ice surface? I don't know.
We need to hear from some professional ice makers. And I know a few. And I feel like they're not doing anything right now. So we will get some guests coming up. But anyways, let's get to the quick six show topics. It'll make sense as to why we're talking about this. Thank you. Out here in the Prairie Provinces, we have learned that outdoor rinks... have banned hockey for sure in Alberta, also Saskatchewan, and in Manitoba. They've had the code red for months, so they might have been doing this longer than anybody. But it was just learned by me last night from a Saskatoon outdoor rink attendant. He was instructed to remove the nets, and if you don't do it, the city's going to come down and chain the nets together so they can't play. And I said to the guy, why? And he said, well, as far as he knew, it's not because of coronavirus, but it's because the city of Saskatoon's fearful of a lawsuit, that if somebody comes out and plays and gets coronavirus, they'll get sued. That's his supposition. He's not really even sure. But it ain't good. And that has led to people going out on the lakes and the dugouts and what are outdoor streams, and they've been sending us photos, and they're amazing. And we're going to post a few of them later on here in this hour, right? Clark's just getting them loaded up and ready to go.
That's right.
We got to get the one from Canmore, too. So let's just not limit it to the Prairies. Let's put the Rockies in there, too. It's on my own personal Twitter feed, Clark. But anyways, that's what's going on. People want to skate. They want to play shinny. It's not as easy as it has been in the past, but where there's a will, there's a way. Point two, Monday Night Football, and we have not spent nearly as much time on that as I would have liked. But the Seahawks went into Philadelphia. They only won 23-17. Did you see how bad the Eagles were on offense? On defense, they were great.
Yeah, I watched. They got a great defense.
Yeah, Seattle shouldn't be celebrating anything.
No, and we know Seattle's defense is not good. We know they're not good. And they were okay for most of this game, but that's mostly because Philadelphia has nothing going offensively. And I know that they're, you know, now removed from having the offensive coordinator where Carson Wentz had so much success with, and they won a Super Bowl and Nick Foles did his thing. Offensive coordinators matter. That's who you're in the meeting rooms with every day. You know, those things really matter. But Wentz, I mean, he's just not the guy. And I thought Jalen Hurts would get more than two snaps in the football game behind him. But it's tough. They're only one game back. But Philadelphia, it's not good.
Well, a better point might be this. How long of a leash or good graces should you get if you win a championship? Because it wasn't that long ago the Eagles were hoisting the Vince Lombardi Trophy as Super Bowl champions. Now, they want everybody run out of town. And it wasn't Carson Wentz. It was Nick Foles, as you know. But the coach, Doug Peterson, is blowing up on people. You know how football coaches are.
Oh, I know.
How long should you get? Because I don't think it's even been 2 years since they won a Super Bowl. And I can tell you this, here in Saskatchewan, because the show's emanating from the heartland of the CFL, it's been a year and a half. That's the good graces that you get. Ask John Gregory, fired in 1991. Ask Corey Chamberlain, fired in 2015. It's a year and a half.
Is this the price for winning a Super Bowl? Right?
What's the price?
You know, is this the price that you have to now go through this for three more years? You've got Carson Wentz under contract. Is this the price? And are you willing to accept it? You know, you're going to win the Super Bowl and it's going to be the greatest moment of your franchise in your franchise's history. And then you're going to have the worst time period probably of the entire franchise because the expectations are so much higher than what's happening right now, right? And you're one game back from the division lead and you have no chance of winning the division.
There normally is a price to be paid somewhere down the line. You're right. Unless you're the Patriots. Point three, staying with the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens at Pittsburgh Steelers game has been moved back again. It was supposed to be tonight. Now it's Wednesday at 3:40 Eastern. Why is it not a night game? Because NBC has the Lighting of the Tree broadcast from the Rockefeller Center in Times Square. Been there. Love it. I get it. And thankfully, I'll be able to watch the afternoon game. So a lot of people are saying, why did they make the Broncos play, but they're not making the Ravens play? It's because what happened to the Denver Broncos was not classified as an outbreak. It was less than five people. With the Ravens, shoot, it's over 20. It's unbelievable that it's unbelievable that they're playing at all. But as I saw Adam Schefter say, the ESPN insider, the NFL is wearing it like a major badge that they haven't had to cancel a game yet. You can see that, right?
Yeah.
We are beating this thing. You're actually not. But you are finding a way around it, which I will give you credit for.
Yeah.
Most leagues haven't been able to do that.
No, they haven't canceled a single game. And it's more about the safety of the players and making sure that that they feel comfortable putting the players on the field. And in Denver, this was an issue with the quarterbacks not wearing masks. And they're not eligible because they weren't wearing their masks. And the NFL doesn't feel sorry for them. And for the first time ever, and I was listening to this morning, for the first time ever, the NFL isn't really worried about competitive balance here. They're not worried about competitive balance and making sure it's fair for the results on the field. They're worried about making sure all the games get played and making sure that they're not spreading the virus to a point where they can't play games. And you didn't wear your masks? We don't feel sorry for you. Find somebody else to play quarterback. There's a ton of great athletes.
We already have an answer, and thank you to Nelson Hakowicz, one of our viewers, for writing in regarding how long of a grace period should you get if you win a Super Bowl. Nelson says, I say 3 years should be the NFL window. CFL has 9 teams. It's assumed to be easier to slap together a winning roster. NFL is a little more spread thin. I like the way he thinks. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Doug Peterson's not getting 3 years. And now the Eagle fans have woken up this morning, including Todd Pinckney, who writes in and says, Doug Peterson will be the next to be fired. He doesn't know how to use Carson Wentz. And now you don't know how to use Jalen Hurts. Lurie was lurking in the stands. Oh, no. when the owners come out of their little cage, i.e. the luxury suite, that's not good. That's not good. Especially with a Falcons owner that comes down to the sidelines. They always lose when he comes down, right, Clark? Clark says they always lose no matter what. Forget about the owner. Anyways, point four. I don't know if you're watching this. This might be a Prairie thing. But Evander Kane, the former Winnipeg Jet, now of the San Jose Sharks, got in a Twitter feud with both the Reeves boys, Ryan and Jordan. Ryan of the Vegas Golden Knights and Jordan of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. It was distasteful. Right? Evander Kane was calling out, well, who's the YouTube fighter from the fight the other night?
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, he was calling him out. And then Jordan Reed started calling him out. And Evander Kane referred to them as the Reeves sisters, which drew the ire of the feminists and all the rest. I just thought this whole thing is not something I don't think the NHL would want to have reflective of their brand. Fair?
That's right.
So you guys want to fight? Y'all got each other's text cell numbers. Text each other.
They want to do it publicly.
And why do you want to do this in front of everybody?
Create a little buzz. Try and create a little bit of controversy and a little bit of bad blood. But, yeah, it's just not happening the right way, right? PR guys exist for a reason. I wish they would lean into something like this, right? The PR guys, into a little bit of hate and rivalry, as opposed to just advising against it all the time. But yeah, it's just not, it's very uncomfortable. It's not coming off the right way for the NHL.
That's what I'm saying. It's distasteful.
Very distasteful. I like the idea of them butting heads and calling each other out, but they just don't know how to do it the right way. It's just coming off really bad. I don't know what's missing, but you're right. It's distasteful.
Things continue to change by the minute in the pandemic world. My fifth point was that the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League and the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League have both announced that they're being shelved until into the new year. And then it's not like they went back on that. John Shannon, formerly of Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, tweeting today that he hears the Western Hockey League season will be moved back to February. This just feels so May all over again. I'm not blaming or pointing the finger at anybody, not the leagues, not the health officials, not nothing. It's just 10 months in, I don't feel like we've learned anything. You know, as a matter of fact, you see, and you got to give them credit, the leaders, the health people, the politicians, the sports leagues, they hold these news conferences every day, and at least they're admitting, you know what, we thought this, but now we think that. They're just being honest.
Yeah.
They're not even misleading, I don't think. It's just very frustrating. And I know I'm speaking for everybody, but that's how I feel today. And point six, you know, there was starting to be some discussions about an NHL start date. You saw Darren Dreger on SportsCenter and Gino Retta. And then this morning, Pierre LeBrun comes out from The Athletic and has predicted a middle January start date. And you aptly pointed out last hour and also in our morning meeting that Darren Pang said that here almost 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago. Darren Pang said January 15th. And I'm like, if you can actually guarantee us January 15th, I'm more than okay waiting two more weeks if we're 10 months into this thing. Plus, we had a season.
Yeah.
Right, a playoff.
Right.
So how are you on the January 15th date?
I'm okay if it's January 15th or somewhere close to. It's tough because what I don't want is January 15th to turn into January 30th. You know, 2 weeks to turn into 4 weeks, that turns into 8 weeks, that turns into 12 weeks. That's going to get exhausting, right? But I have no problem, you know, backing it up a little bit if it means you're going to get things, you know, together and be able to play. And it's expensive too, right? If you're looking at traveling, you're looking at doing, you know, small little bubbles, the Canada bubble, the, you know, certain division or regional bubbles. That's expensive. If that extra 2 weeks cuts your cost down and makes it a little more appealing to the owners, to the league, to the players, and that's where you can get a deal together. Hey, that works for me too. I just really want to see them come back in a way that's going to get them through the season.
Gotcha. So those are the quick six show topics, but I had a couple more bonus points. One, I saw on the TSN ticker this morning. Major League Baseball is creating its own minor league that it owns. And for those that aren't aware, you've heard of independent leagues back in the day, minor leagues. They are independent of Major League Baseball. Well, this is what I threw out yesterday. I'd like to see the NFL create its own minor league so we can go year-round and we got something to talk about. NFL 2. Well, Major League Baseball sounds like they're doing exactly that. How long before football follows suit, do you think?
Yeah, it might be soon. It'll be interesting. Here's the thing I like about it. It's kind of like the American League, too, in the NHL. We don't really follow the American League or care about the standings.
I do, but...
but we don't really care about the standings or, you know, that. We love following the players and seeing how they're doing and checking rosters for point totals and such and watching the All-Star game. But it's also a place to experiment with rules. Baseball is the one game that hasn't evolved. Right? Yeah. They haven't really evolved. They haven't really changed.
You now would be the time.
4 hour plus games. Now would be the time. So you want to try playing, you know, 2 6-inning or 7-inning doubleheaders, or you want to try, you know, different rules or different replay rules or extra innings things. You can try it out in your own league, in your minor league, and see how it works. And that would add a whole new intrigue to the game.
Very exciting.
You know, try out the new overtime rules in the American Hockey League. And if they're great, bring them to the NHL.
By the way, on the hockey return, we got some great comments here. Jeff, the Stampeders fan, writes in and says, it's all up to COVID. And yet Travis Rosebrook writes in and says, what are the odds that there's a lockout due to the salary issue between the NHL and the Players Association? We might not even have a season. So there's two comments from Jeff and Travis that are totally opposite of each other. And I'm glad you guys wrote in with your thoughts on it, because Gary Lawless said it here last week. If there's no season, it won't be because of COVID. It'll be because of money. These guys can't agree on pay cuts that the players will take, an acceptable amount. We're going to have to break here soon here because we're coming to the end of our time. But, yeah, it's all about money. And Major League Baseball, they squabbled in 2020, but eventually they came out onto the diamond. And if hockey follows that road, they'll be playing. Please, baby hockey Jesus. And the other point that I had was that last night I was scrolling Facebook during Monday Night Football and stumbled across the Canadian Hockey League's E-Memorial Cup, the Sim League.
Yeah.
It was awesome, except my Pats got trounced 7-2 by Rouen Noranda. And I have a small complaint with the Canadian Hockey League in that the rosters were not attention to detail. Sorry, hockey nerd here. But they didn't have Connor Bedard playing for the Pats. They didn't have Flyers prospect Roddy Ross in goal for the Pats. I'm writing in going, call a timeout, Strushy. Where's Roddy Ross? Change the goalies. Nobody answered me. But anyways, Reed Duthie did an outstanding job of the play-by-play. We DM'd each other. He said he's calling every game for the CHL all the way to the E-Memorial Cup.
Wow.
Presented by Kia, who incidentally is a sponsor of ours. So, yeah, be watching. Follow the Western Hockey League and your favorite team on Facebook, and you'll get notifications to watch those games. Frankly, I can see why so many people were into the CFL Sim, because I really enjoyed it until I realized I just like to see more work put into the rosters.
Fair? Yeah, I agree.
Barry Davis, longtime Blue Jays sideline reporter, joining us next. We got a sports update coming up, viewer takeover. But this has been the warm-up for Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, Saskatchewan's original sports bar, your home of the NFL. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus, Facebook Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Pleased to have you all with us today. I'm getting really geeked up over this request of ours because we're getting some unreal photos sent in. Your best outdoor hockey photos. Text them to us on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer. DM them to us on Twitter, whatever, Facebook. Some gorgeous photos coming in. And if you're wondering why we're doing that, it's because on the prairies, Although I've seen no official statement from the cities, from the civic governments, they've instructed outdoor rink managers to take the nets off the ice. Hockey is not allowed. Shinny is not allowed. It looks like the rules change from city to city and province to province. Like, they're not even maintaining the ice, from what I'm told, in Alberta. But in Saskatchewan, you can go public skate. Who really wants to do that? But you can't play shinny. So people are going to the lakes, the streams, the dugouts, and they're sending us the photos. I love it. Barry Davis joining us momentarily. Clark says he's got a problem logging in. But we'll get him. You know him, you love him, from Rogers Sportsnet Blue Jays broadcasts, and now of the Out of the Park podcast. Sports update, there will not be a rare Tuesday night NFL game after all. The game between Baltimore and Pittsburgh has been moved back a third time to Wednesday night due to COVID-19 issues with the Ravens. The game was originally scheduled for last Thursday. And the reason the kickoff will be 3:40 Eastern Wednesday is because NBC is showing the lighting of the tree. Can you guys go to the full screen camera shot here? When's our TV special for the lighting of the tree?
I know, right? We should have one.
Maybe tomorrow?
We could do that.
Or throw the tree into the fire that's burning on the front of my desk.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
I'm a little worried it's going to fall in.
I still can't feel it. How about this? NBA training camps open today. Did you know that?
Yeah, unbelievable.
As teams start to get ready for the upcoming season, on-court sessions will be limited to individual workouts and only for players who have received 3 negative COVID test results in the last few days. The season scheduled to start December 22nd. Major League Soccer's Western Conference semifinals getting underway tonight as the Seattle Sounders get ready to host FC Dallas. Seattle is the defending MLS Cup champion and has appeared in 3 of the last 4 finals. And the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, as we mentioned off the top of the show, is suspending games until January 3rd. The Q was the only one of Canada's 3 major junior leagues to begin play at its usual October start time, but the league has been beset with issues stemming from COVID-19. Our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is, will the Memorial Cup be played in 2021? What are the results, guys? Throw them up there on Facebook. It is now 63% say no, the Mem Cup won't be played. That sucks. This sports update for the Tap Brew House and drive-thru liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasquin, Regina. For Wendell Clark's Classic Grill and Eatery in Saskatoon, where today it is Tuesday. That means Taco Tuesday. $12.95 chicken tacos featured at Wendell's, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. See you at Wendell's. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, the best you'll ever have. Now 8 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. As promised, we're going out to Ontario now, where I think they can talk Blue Jays 365. Barry Davis joins us from the Out of the Park podcast. Everybody knows him from Blue Jays coverage on Sportsnet. How you doing, Barry?
I'm good. I'm just trying to arrange my camera here. This is all new technology for me. I don't have quite the nice studio that you have, but hey, it's not too bad.
You know what? It's all about the guy behind the mic. So, and we know that you're a stud in that realm. And it looks fine, by the way. And it sounds great. And before
I'm trying to get that guitar in the shot there.
I know.
You know? There you go.
We'll have to get around to the music talk, too, because I know you host a music podcast on that, too. But listen, I got to ask you about the news that came out Friday in the Globe and Mail about the plan to tear down Rogers Centre. So it would seem some of your greatest broadcasting highlights have been there, Barry. What did you think when you heard that news?
That it's not news. That this is stuff that's been talked about for an awfully long time right now. If they were saying that they are going to tear the Rogers Center down this year during the offseason and then build a new stadium while the Blue Jays were playing elsewhere, then that would be big breaking news. But quite honestly, this is something that's been in the works for an awfully long time. And as you go on to read the story, you realize that this is not happening this offseason. This is happening 4, 5, 6 years down the line. So it's something that I think is much needed. The Rogers Center served a wonderful purpose, and for many years it was a fantastic stadium, but it is very antiquated, and it's it needs a refresher, and there's only so much you can do. So it's time to build a new one. What I'm not so sure about is building a new stadium on the same site that the Rogers Center is on now. I think it's time to move it out into one of the more rural areas outside of the city. We've got great transit now. We've got a lot of land. I'd love to see an area where fans can do some tailgating and hang out and actually, you know, enjoy a full day instead of just going there for the ball game and going home.
See, now I'm one of those fans that's very romantic with the idea of Rogers Center. I know it's congested down there, but I love the Blue Jays store and all the, you know, shops in the store. I stayed in the hotel many nights. They go in there to play with the Rough Riders, and the Rough Riders have won two Grey Cups there. But you get it, right? That's what the fans see. A guy like you that goes there to work every day probably sees a few things that the fans don't. Like when you say,
well,
antiquated,
the interesting thing is,
yeah.
I mean, from a working standpoint, it was one of the best stadiums I had a chance to work in. Fenway is a major dump, as much as people love it. But to work, these places are complete dumps. So I am totally fine with Rogers Center when it came to a working environment. But I don't work down there anymore. So now I'm thinking from a fan standpoint, and I want to see real grass in the ballpark. I don't want to see the dimensions just being completely symmetrical. I want to see something a little bit different. I'd love to see a little bit more of a Camden Yard style ballpark. However, you do need a retractable roof. I'm not necessarily saying for the cold weather that we would get in April or September. I'm saying because of the amount of rain. So it doesn't have to be a full enclosure like the Rogers Center, but I'd like to see something a little more, I was going to say retro, but I don't think we can call that retro anymore. I think now Rogers Center would be considered retro.
Absolutely. The phase or the fad is to go to smaller, more intimate parks instead of the gigantic, what you're talking about. And by the way, Barry, every time we talk about certain topics, so the Blue Jays being one, the comments just light up. John in Winnipeg says, the Buffalo Blue Jays again? What's the scoop? He wants to know that, so hang on. Jeff, the Stampeders fan, says, the Sky Dome is so iconic, still the best engineered retractable roof. Wouldn't the Jays not want to stay downtown? Let's start
I think they would prefer to stay downtown because you do have a fantastic transit system and it does feed right through the downtown area. If you're driving to the ballpark, it's not a lot of fun out that way. I was fortunate enough when I worked down there that I would be there, you know, quite a few hours before the game, and I would be leaving, you know, when most of the crowd was gone. Having said that, if you do need to drive down as a fan, it wasn't great. And we do have a lot of land, you know, maybe a 20-minute drive from downtown Toronto where they could potentially put it. But I totally see the argument of wanting to have it downtown. And I've never lived in the downtown area. I've always lived north of the city. So for me, maybe I'm just being a little biased. As far as what the Rogers Center actually provided and the technology they had, in 1989, it was state-of-the-art stuff. And for many years, visiting players would come and they'd marvel at watching the roof open and close. Now, the roof opening and closing is not so much a fun thing. It takes a lot longer. It's very noisy. It gets stuck a lot. And it's not something that's just an easy fix anymore. When you go to one of the newer ballparks that have a retractable roof, that thing opens and closes in 10, 15 minutes tops. Whereas the Rogers Center, you get looking at a good 30, 45 minutes. And if it should start to rain in the middle of a game and they start to close it, place is going to get pretty wet before they have a chance to get it fully closed, and they don't have the type of drainage that you would in an outdoor ballpark. So there are some things that, you know, have passed way past their prime.
Hey, Barry, I'm hoping you'll stay with us into another segment. We still got time here, but I'm loving this, as are our viewers. If I can just chime in here, the Stamps fan Jeff says, Fenway is no dump. I suppose you'd say the same about McMahon. Meanwhile, Dallas Federchuk, friend of ours, scout for the Wheat Kings, he says, do not speak ill of the iconic Fenway Park, Mr. Davis. Hang on. I've been there. It's disgusting. Like walking under the stands, health code violations, water dripping down on you. It's gross. So I don't know what you think about Fenway, but I've seen it. But do you want to defend yourself?
From a fan standpoint,
yes.
To sit in the stands, and I've sat in every possible seat in there because I would always go to the ballpark early and have a chance to sit around. During the postseason, when I'd cover the Red Sox playing other teams, they would put a number of us media out in right field around Pesky's pole. So there are some wonderful things about that stadium. But getting from the press box to the clubhouse is no easy task. There's no separate elevator. You're going down with the fans. You're walking through the corridor. The entrances to both the Red Sox and Blue Jays clubhouses are right in the middle of where the concession stands are. So when I say it's a dump, I mean that. There's also the walk that you have to take from the Blue Jays clubhouse onto the field, where you walk on this little rubbery floor, and it is an accident waiting to happen. There are rats all over the place. It's disgusting. The visiting clubhouse is about the size of the average bedroom, and you have to stick 25 players in there. So I don't want to offend anyone when I say that, because yes, to sit and watch it, and it is an iconic stadium, and it is, you know, really beautiful to see on TV. But let me clarify that when I say dump, when I'm making my opinions on stadiums, I'm totally talking about from a working environment. The press box has got to be one of the worst I've ever seen in pro baseball. If you are one of the lucky ones to sit in the front row of the press box, you're fine. But if you are sitting on second, third, or fourth row, what you're seeing are window frames. And a lot of times I would watch a game from the press box before I'd actually move to the point where I was watching from the camera bay. But when I'd be watching from the press box, the pitcher's head would be cut off quite often, because you would see the frame of the window that would cut off the head. So, and there were a lot of blind spots as well. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Wrigley Field, the same. Well, a beautiful ballpark. First place I ever watched a baseball game. A lot of great memories. But then when I covered the World Series there, and I realized this place is terrible. Even the men's bathrooms in the concession areas, okay, they have these big long troughs. Not urinals. So you got 15, 20 guys all lined up in this one trough taking a leak at the same time. So, yeah, dump. Dump, dump, dump.
I'm with you, man. I don't know why people were triggered, but yeah, these are tourist destinations you want to go once in a lifetime. But for the people that have to go there every single day, the players and the staff, yeah, it's horrible. And why wouldn't you want to be in a brand new Taj Mahal facility if you can? Barry, can you stick for another segment? Do you mind?
Of course.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing better to do.
Barry Davis with us, and we're going to talk some on-field stuff, baseball, and whatever else comes up. With maybe we'll get into viewer takeover early. We'll be right back. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Yes, we are back, and very excited to welcome back in another segment here Barry Davis from the Out of the Park podcast, longtime Blue Jay sideline reporter on Sportsnet. And there's a lot of people writing in from Ontario regarding stadiums and so forth, and we'll get to those questions. But Barry, what was the best moment for you covering the Blue Jays in a pretty exciting time for the franchise?
Oh, that's an easy one for me, and that would be the day that Jose Bautista hit the home run. And it's not just the home run. And I will say that, when an actor breaks character on TV and you're like, oh, they shouldn't have done that. Well, I broke character when he hit that home run, and I was in that camera bay, and 20 some odd years of emotion built up inside of me from the time I was a teenager and a fan. And when that home run left the ballpark, I'm there immortalized forever, jumping out of my seat. With my arms up in the air, and very briefly, that was, and then I popped myself and went, oh, hang on, I'm not supposed to do that. Don't worry, no one will have seen that.
Well, by the way, producer Clark mentioned, we were just saying how much we loved you on those broadcasts, and Clark said, the passion, Barry brought the passion. You know, not everybody does.
I appreciate that.
Well, then same thing. I was just big fans out here, Barry. And before we do talk about what the Blue Jays might do in free agency and where this franchise is going, to the question from the guy in Calgary that said, would the Jays not want to stay downtown? That's the plan, is it not, to build a new place where Rogers Center is?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my opinion as someone who lives outside the city, where a lot of people do live. It's a pain in the butt to try to work your way in downtown Toronto at rush hour to get down to see a game. So, yeah, they'll stay downtown. The plan is to build it on the same spot. The only problem with doing that is, where are they going to play while they're doing that? You're not going to build it in one off season. So there will be some time where the Jays will not be able to play at the Rogers Center. They will not have a home stadium. God forbid the Blue Jays play baseball and not play. Oh, hang on. They're doing that already. Never mind. Maybe they'll be. Hopefully it's not because of another pandemic in 4 or 5 years. But that's pretty much the long and short of it. There is some land across the street from where the Rogers Center is, just a little bit west of there, a theme park called Ontario Place that was there for years. And it's not there anymore, but they do have the land. They could potentially build something there. But either way, it's still something that's not going to happen for a few years. And I will say what you said off the top, I do appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And as you know, changes continue to happen in that organization when it comes to on-air personalities. And Mike Wilner, who was a big part of the Blue Jays for over 20 years, is no longer there either. So, you know, it's one of those sad things that those of us who have passion and personality are no longer what they want on there anymore. And God bless them for doing whatever they want to do. But it's a good thing we have formats like this where we can talk. And I'm really glad that you invited me on the show, because it does give me an opportunity to still speak Blue Jays and show the passion that I have.
Well, look, we're going to do it more. And by the way, let's just talk about where this team is going, because Greg Zahn, you worked with him for years, very good mm-hmm. friend of mine, predicted the Jays would finish last in the shortened 2020 season. And, yeah, I know. And I don't want to hold it against him, although I might. Mm-hmm. As you know, they ended up finishing third, made the playoffs.
Yep.
They learned a lot of lessons. They're one of the youngest teams in the majors. I think the youngest in the playoffs. And I might be turning on the Shapiro-Atkins regime, because I wasn't fans of them at all. Do you think they're ahead of schedule and some like really exciting days are ahead?
I think they're ahead of schedule compared to what most fans believe. I think if you were to ask Shapiro and Atkins, they'd say, no, we're right on schedule. And I was always okay with what they were doing, simply because I know baseball is a cyclical thing, that your team will be good and then it will be bad. Now, you can get a team like the Boston Red Sox, where they're the best team in baseball 1 year, and then they're last place the next year, and they go back and forth, back and forth. You also can have what the Blue Jays had between the years 1994 and 2015, which was a team that was just okay. You know, they were never last place, but they were never first place. They patched up what they needed to patch up to make themselves competitive. But at some point, you need a full turnaround. And the Jays did what they could with the team they had in 2015 and 2016, and it wasn't quite good enough. And by that time, all your star players, Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, Josh Donaldson, well, Donaldson still had a lot left in him, but there, Russell Martin, these guys had already gone past their prime as players. So that's when it's time to do a full rebuild, not just a tweak, not just a fix it little here, because all that's going to do is it's going to make the team a better than 500 team, but not good enough to be in the playoffs. What you need to do is you need to strip the whole thing down and do your best to rebuild it. And they've done a fantastic job rebuilding it. And what they have a number of assets. They still have holes that they need to fill. They need some starting pitching. They need a veteran center fielder on this team. And what do they have now? They have a lot of young players, many that they don't want to part with. And of course, you're not getting rid of Vladimir Guerrero or Bo Bichette or Kevin Biggio, but you've got guys like Lourdes Gurriel or Teoscar Hernandez. You've got a couple of catchers that are, you know, one of them could be used in a trade. You've got Rowdy Tellez. These are all guys that can be a part of the team, but at some point you have to decide who are the non-touchables. And those three I mentioned, along with Nate Pearson, are probably the three untouchables that are going to be a part of this organization for years to come and could help be a part of what this team needs to actually get to that next stage, which is make it to the World Series. Now you add in veterans, and if you can't do it via free agency, then you've got some great trade chips there. So I think that Shapiro and Atkins, while they are not the most connected with the fans, while they're not the most engaging people in the world, they do know what they are doing when it comes to trying to put a baseball team together. And many people didn't want to trust the process and were really upset with the fact the team was bad for a couple of years. But I think people like yourself and others who doubted them are now starting to see, oh, maybe they did know what they were doing. It just took some time for us to see it.
Two quick questions. One, Monty in Saskatoon wants to know what you know about a 2021 Major League Baseball season. What are you hearing?
Well, they played this year, so I can't imagine why they wouldn't play in 2021. Where will they play? How long will the season be? I mean, that's as predictable as what's happening with COVID. And, you know, we here in Ontario are seeing, you know, just different things all the time. And you know, we know the States is a complete crap show right now. So it's really hard to say. I would like to hope that there's going to be a football season.
And the ballistic hoodie, Clark pointed that out. We're part of it too, man. We're part of it. So you're pimping the baseball game?
Yes, absolutely. I'm really excited about this coming about. And to be able to sit and watch a Blue Jays game and do something other than just be on my phone. And, you know, hopefully by the new year, the co-host of my podcast, Tom Forth, can come by and we can actually sit and play the game while we're watching a game on TV. But Don and the guys at Ballistic do a great job. So I figured I'd represent, right?
Yeah, ours got lost in the mail, Barry. So I'm glad that they...
Don, you got to get Rod some of these wonderful hoodies here.
Exactly. Barry, this is awesome, man. I appreciate the chat. And I hope we can do it again into the new year. And I'll be the first to say happy holidays, my friend. And thanks for the time today.
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to do this anytime.
Thank you. Barry Davis joining us from the GTA, longtime Blue Jays sideline reporter. Now you can catch him at the Out of the Park podcast. And I really realized when the Blue Jays went on the run in 2015 and 16 and then made the playoffs this year, the love in Western Canada for the Blue Jays. And just hang on for a second, because I know you love the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Right? I've talked about the crew here that I grew up a Jays fan, but that 20-year gap from 93 to 2015, I'm not good at math, but that's a long time. 20-plus years, they kind of sucked, you know, not even making the playoffs. So we kind of drifted away from baseball. And then, you know, now they're back. The love is there. Most of us played baseball, and baseball is very big out here. But the Raptors is funny because when they won the championship, and do you remember that prehistoric time when they used to allow crowds to gather? Do you remember that? Remember that?
So, yeah, it's there.
So it was like 22,000 people were showing up at Mosaic Stadium down here, down the street, to watch the Raptors on TV. And I was getting a little upset at the time because on my old talk show, the local radio show, I did an NBA report. Do you remember with Jeff Armstead?
Yeah.
Romeo?
Yeah.
And it only lasted a couple months. People were calling in and complaining. Nobody cares about basketball out here. Stop talking basketball. I canned it because you got to give people what they want. So all of a sudden we were Raptors Central when they started to win. That ticks me off.
The bandwagon effect.
Right. The Blue Jays I get, there's a deep love for the Blue Jays in Western Canada. There's not a deep love for the Toronto Raptors.
There's not. No, I would agree with that. I think hopefully they can build it. And I think if you can get people out and then you can sustain it and you can build that connection, I think that's wonderful. But yeah, it's not there like it is with the Jays. We've talked about it. They do the dinner circuits out here all the time.
Oh,
they do the camps out here all the time.
That's what I mean.
I mean, I grew up from, I missed the World Series. I mean, I was too young. But just on the cusp. And then to 2015, and we were treated to some wonderful players.
I got to stop for a second because we're going to have to break. Two things. I'm sorry. We'll talk about it next segment. We'll face off.
There you go.
Chad Isaac writes in and he says, "What's up, RP Show? Missed too many of your shows lately. Good to be back." Well, Chad, we're here every day. Every day at 11 a.m. Eastern on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV. So you're in and up. We're here every day. The other thing, you said it. And this seems, again, like so May and June when we talk about how these sports teams are going to have to rebuild their brands and their fan bases. The Jays still send people out here. The Jays Care Foundation dropped how many tens of thousands of dollars here this year? When's the last time a Raptor was out here? In Western Canada. I think the next time would be the first time. So the Jays put in the work.
That's right.
Right? And it's lasted. It's lasted. And that's when I talk about that deep love. That's why. Because they've come out here and put out the time. We'll be back with a viewer takeover segment. Face off. You're not going to want to miss that. We'll figure out in the break what we're talking about. What we're going to face off about.
Yeah.
It's the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Here's what we decided. And we're going to get to these photos right away.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, can we do it right now, Clark? We asked the viewers to send in your outdoor hockey photos because out here on the prairies, shinny's been banned at city outdoor rinks. So people have taken to the lakes, the streams. Here we go. Thank you. This is at White Bear Lake down in southeastern Saskatchewan where I spent a lot of time as a kid. What else you got, boys? This one was in the Moose Jaw area. You said you need boards. You don't need boards. Give me a break. That same thing, White Bear, like that just makes my heart pound.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. And that one, I believe, was around the Moose Jaw area, too. See the Hockey Canada shooter tooter?
The shooter tooter.
Hanging off there.
Mr. Civ.
And look at this one. Canmore, Alberta. That one just makes your...
Isn't that Canada?
The train, right
there. The train's going by.
Absolutely gorgeous. And that came from Donovan Mace, CTV, Calgary.
Unreal.
So people are making it happen. Hockey cannot be stopped. So here's what we're facing off. Pat in Saskatoon writes in and says, the NBA doesn't need to brand out here. They're already bigger than baseball. What do they have to do? We're going to face off against you, Jug. The deep love for the Blue Jays in Western Canada comes from, as you said, the baseball camps that they've put on, the sports dinners they've come out and spoke at. I've gotten to know Cito Gaston, Dwayne Ward, Robbie Alomar, Todd Stottlemyre, all those greats. They were coming out here when they were playing. They played a game at Taylor Field in 1991 against the National Baseball Institute. All the crew came out here just before they really hit it big. So the Raptors don't need to come out. Oh, they're too big. That's the problem with sports right now. They don't think they need to get off their ass and out, go out and market. And when times like this, when the fit hits the shan, that brand love is gone. The Jays still have it because the fans don't feel connected to you. We feel connected to the Toronto Blue Jays for all the reasons I just said. For anybody that says, and I hear it, by the way, still to this day, oh, we don't need to market. Our team sells itself. That was said recently in a boardroom of a pro sports team. You might want to rethink that. Your thoughts?
No, you're right. I mean, there's a reason why we were glued to the TV set watching the Jays growing up as kids. And they didn't win anything from the last World Series in 93 until 2015, where they still didn't win anything, but they at least, you know, got back to the playoffs through those late 90s, early 2000s. And there was, but we knew who all the players were. And they were good. I mean, you had Roger Clemens, David Wells, Pat Hankin, Roy Halladay.
Of course.
Chris Carpenter, you know, Carlos Delgado, Sean Green. Like, there's Alex Gonzalez. Like, there's a ton of names.
The Pats will have to remind me, but there was a Mexican pitcher came from the Blue Jays all the way from Mexico to the Brand Center for Blue Jays night. I can't remember his name. I don't believe he's still with the team.
But I remember the night.
You remember the night. And the Pats wore Blue Jays jerseys. We don't need the brand. Tell me how that's going to work out for you.
Especially without the Vancouver Grizzlies. Now you are Canada's team.
There's no doubt.
To get out into, you know, Vancouver and BC and Alberta.
Clark just told me, Ezekiel Carrera.
That's it.
And I interviewed him with a translator. He came all the way from Mexico just for that one performance. By the way, the face-off is for the Mad Greek. Visit their website, themadgreekeatery.com, and for the Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams. We'll see you all tomorrow with Pat Fiacco from Boxing Canada, hockey coach Brendan Kotick, and our soccer insider Simon Judge. It's at 12 Eastern. So I punched him.
Of course you did.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.